I welcome each one of you here. For those of you who are live streaming, I know on Sunday night we have a good amount of people who tune in to watch, and so I want to welcome each one of you here and hope that you know, I was thinking yesterday, I guess I don't remember what I was doing, but I remembered that as I was going about the things of my day, remembered that today was going to be Sunday, and I was excited to come here, excited for today. And, you know, I think about how amazed I am at the Lord that, you know, there's been so many times in my life where there's been something going on, some question I had, some situation that I was pondering, and, you know, I'd been praying about it, and I would come to church, and there would be a message brought forth by the preacher, and it would answer those things. You know, we serve a God who is amazing, who knows each one of us and our needs, and He calls men to preach, and He calls people, and He touches their heart to share words of wisdom and guidance and direction. And I hope that you've come here tonight for it. I enjoyed our sermon this morning. I thought it was so very important for some of the things that are on my heart. And so I'm certain that the Lord has been working with my brother-in-law here as he would share this message. And I hope that as you've considered your life and you've prayed about being here, that you would ask the Lord, what does He have for you in this hour? What message is important for you? And I know that He's put a message upon my brother's heart. So I give you a brother, Elder Gary Jacobson.
Thank you, Adam. Good evening, brothers and sisters. All those that are live streaming, I'd like to welcome each and every one of you here this evening. It's very good to be here, and I'd have to admit, after the puppet show that we had earlier, I told my brothers here, coming up here, that that's going to be a hard one to top. And they were endeavoring to get me to start off with a puppet voice, but I am not going to do that. But no, I am grateful and thankful to be here, and everybody knows I'm a fun guy, but I have a message for tonight, and I wanted to share a couple experiences that with you that I've had here in the recent future, past, I'm sorry. And see, it's already starting to become comical. No, but in all seriousness, I was thinking about a few things, and recently I had taken on the responsibility for the Sunday school for the older kids, and you know, we were talking about getting them established, getting them ready to be prepared for the world that they're going to enter in, their workplace, the society, and all those things. So we're trying to work towards gearing towards goals that they can accomplish that are sustainable. They're easy for them to accomplish, and it'll get them to be able to exercise those things in which they have and to develop those skills. And we're going to rely on each other to be able to do that and to be able to help each other out and therefore help out those that we're going to reach out to and as a part of that goal. And then they're going to be able to learn from that and grow from that. And my whole idea of that and my role in that, and I was asking them, it was basically to have fun, and that's what I wanted to do. But in all seriousness, it wasn't for me to have fun, but I wanted them to think that because I thought it was kind of funny. But it was for me to be able to see what works with this younger generation to see, you know, what can I do, what can Gary do to be able to find out what it takes to interact with this younger group and get them to be interested and to learn and to develop themselves. And most importantly is to apply those things that the gospel has for them in their life and see the benefits of that. And it's really interesting because we're starting to put together our syllabus and assigning roles to who's going to do what. And I gave an example of, you know, these are things that all of us as adults have to go through in our lives, regardless, no matter what. You know, we're going to have these situations that we have to deal with, and we need to be prepared for that. And so I gave an example, and my brother Jesse can attest to this, is, you know, there's some responsibilities that we don't want to have to do that sometimes we're required to do. And one of those responsibilities that I had of recently was coordinating an open house at my place of business for hundreds of people to be able to come and see everything that we do. Not just for my section alone, the fleet department, but for all the sections at facilities and services at Sky Harbor Airport. So this was a huge task that the deputy director assigned to myself and my friend Kim, who's a fellow co-worker, Supervisor 3, for us to coordinate this with all the different sections and to put it together and to choreograph it and make sure everything went smooth and accordingly, you know, in our place of business. So at that day, we could show off who we are, who we represent, and how we can do that in a manner that is pleasing to everyone. And dealing with all these different sections, it was 10 or 11 different sections that we have that actually help the airport run. It maintains the airport. We're kind of the things that go on behind the scenes, and there's a lot of work involved with that, and there's a lot of people involved with that work. We have over 400 employees in our section alone, and we're inviting the airport director and all the upper management staff to come over and to take a tour of our facilities. And it was a very tall order for me, I'd have to admit. I was very nervous about it, and there's a lot of meetings that you have to schedule. You have to coordinate what each section is going to do, what they're going to display, the representatives for it, how they're going to do it, the signage that they put up, and make sure everything's fitting in order. And it took about 2 months for us to be able to go through and do this. We had a couple delays. We had a couple of setbacks. But, you know, eventually, just this last week, we had the opportunity to do it. And it went off. And it was really, really a pleasant experience. I've never seen the place where I work in the fleet shop so clean in my life, and it was very good to see everybody come, and we had fundraisers, we did activities, we had rides, we had events, we had all this fun stuff for them to do. They had food, and all the food contributions were actually the funds we raised from that, from our burrito sale. We're going back to the employees at the end of the year for the employee appreciation event, and then 10% of the proceeds were also going to a fundraiser. We call it the Community Service Fund Drive. So 10% of that is actually going out to help the community too. So we had a lot going on. We had a lot of food to prepare. We actually served over 300 burritos that day, and I never mashed up and fried so much chorizo in my life. It was over 25 pounds, and I think it was over 350 eggs that I cooked myself. So on top of that, I had to take care of all that and facilitate that too. So with that, you know, going into this, I was very uncertain of being able to have the capacity and the capability of doing this. But when I come into these situations, one of the things that I rely upon the most is the Lord. And He is there, and He proved Himself, and it went off. It went off without a hitch. And everybody came, and they enjoyed themselves, and they participated, and they interacted. We had a director that has never stepped foot in our weld shop the 15 years that he's been employed there, and he personally sent me a letter, which really touched me. It still does touch me, because this is somebody that I don't really deal with, and he's the second guy in charge at the airport, and he's personally thanked myself and my friend Kim, my coworker there, about him having that experience, that in all his years, in the 15 years he's been there, he's never stepped foot in there, and he really appreciated that, because he got to meet the people. He got to see the people and got to know the people, and he got to thank the people. The people I work with at the airport are very pleasant. They're very nice people, and it was a great opportunity for us to be able to show them, you know, what we're all about and what we do. And so I think you can kind of see where I'm going with this, but I'm going to take you on a turn here, because, you know, I really enjoyed it. I got a lot out of it. I grew from it, and I had a wonderful experience. But going into it, it was very difficult. It was trying. It was stressful. I had a lot of anxiety, and, you know, everything, I felt the burden. I felt it on my shoulders, and I felt the weight. I lost a lot of sleep. I probably lost a little more hair, and it got a little grayer, too. And, you know, there's things in our lives that we go through that are difficult like that. But tonight, I'm going to bring you through an experience that I also had this week. And I'm thankful for all the things that the Lord shows us. Because, to be honest with you, I was going to come and I was going to talk about the open house and how wonderful it was and how fun it is. And, you know, relating that house to our bodies as a house of God, and that being the temple. We could go on a whole different sermon in regards to that. But I wanted us to be able to think about, you know, when we have these opportunities that we're putting out that which the Lord calls us to do, that we're acting accordingly, that we're taking what opportunity we have and making the most of it, not for ourselves to lift ourselves up because we did a good job. And, you know, like you see in a football game, whenever they score a touchdown, they do the end zone dance, but to be able to lift God up and to understand that that when we do these things and when we represent the Lord and act accordingly, follow His commandments, and serve Him to serve others, that we are so richly rewarded for that. Just like the puppet show, how the treasures in heaven that we receive are those which the Lord gives us and not man. You know, I got a lot of attaboys and all that good stuff, but really, it helped me learn to understand to be a better servant, because there's probably going to be times in our lives that are, like our brother Brian was talking about this morning, that it's going to get difficult. And I think that when we really put ourselves in perspective, if we go into those situations, are we going to have the capability, the capacity, the trust in the Lord to be able to follow through and to do that what He calls us to do? And I really think that we, as Christians, we can do it. And we know we can do it because we put our faith and our trust in the Lord. And He's there for us, and He answers our calls. He opens the door when we knock. And so this whole open house thing was really great and fine and dandy for Gary, because now it's over, now I can move on, now it's in the past. No, that's not true. When I have something like this in my life that I experience, I want to be able to share that with others, because the important part of it is that we learn how to grow and we learn how to interact with each other and we learn how to deal with each other in a Christian manner. And it's important that we understand that, because now we're in a situation to where, you know, each one of us can fall into the same opportunity, is what I'm going to call it, and have that capability of expressing that love of Christ and showing that charity. And I hope that each and every one of you gets something out of this sermon. And the turn that I want to take us is down a different road. And that is that my wife, she homeschools the kids, and they're learning about a couple things here. And it's Corrie Ten Boom, and there's a story about her. And I don't know if any of you are familiar, but I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to share that story with you, because, you know, it kind of catches my ear from time to time to what they're talking about and the times and what the people are dealing with. Well, this Ten Boom family, they grew up, but they had a clocksmith shop in Holland. And there was a lot going on, and it was during World War II. That's when the war started, and there was an occupation by Germany. Now, I'm going to take you down a different type of open house and what the Lord gave me to present today, because, you know, I was going to go off on my own tangent with an open house, but this opportunity arose, and I wanted to take full advantage of it, because it is a very heartfelt story. And I'm not going to do a complete book report up here, but I want to tie it into these Christians here and what they did and what they did for people and how they opened up their house to the Jews, because the Jews were being persecuted during World War II. And at this time, you know, they were suffering, and they were suffering quick. And there was a lot that was going on and taking place. And this family, the Ten Booms, they really changed a lot of lives, and they helped a lot of Jews out. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to start in Titus chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 11 through 14. So in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works." And I know our brothers here have mentioned that some of us here are zealous, and they can see it, and we have that zeal to be able to serve the Lord, and it makes us stand out and be a peculiar people. And, you know, I look at that and the opportunities we have, and yeah, I see that, and I adore that, and I thrive on that, because I'm an energetic person, and I like to see positive things move forward. And really, when I saw this and the struggles that this family went through and what they had to endure, you know, that really sunk into my heart and gave me a better understanding of what can happen and how am I going to be as a person reacting in these situations. And these are the kind of things that lift me up. And that's why I wanted to share this with you. And I'm going to say the movie is called The Hiding Place. I'm not a big reader by no means. And the name of the book is Keeper of the Angel's Den. And it's about this Ten Boom family and what they did in their place of business to be able to help these people out. And it was a really neat experience, and I really appreciated it. And watching the movie, that was last night, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read the book. I was going to bring it here to show everybody, but it's called Keeper of the Angel's Den. And the reason why I'm going to read a book is the book is because the whole time I'm watching the movie and I'm into it, my lovely wife, was saying, oh, the book is so much better. It's got so much more detail, which I believe is true. So I really want to go back and get the details, which I actually kind of doing today, going through it and looking through it. But I'm going to basically give you the rundown here. And it was, so they lived in a place, and it was in Holland during World War II. They lived there prior to that. And then World War II came to the Netherlands, and Germany invaded, and they began to occupy the land. So I'm sure all of you can imagine that when World War II was going on and how Germany was out there to conquer the world and to take over, there was a lot of new things that were put in place, laws, regulations, curfews, and there was a lot of discrimination against the Jews. And so in Holland, there was approximately 115,000 Jews that lived there. And the Germans began to isolate them. And one of the things that really stood out was that when they were getting all the Jews together, they actually had a yellow Star of David with the word Jew written across it. And they had to wear that to show everybody who they were. And, you know, it's so heartfelt because this is a people that did nothing to nobody. And now they're being persecuted instantly on the spot. Their lives are being turned upside down. And Caspar Ten Boom was the father of Corey Ten Boom. And, you know, these were Christians, and they were very devout Christians. And they had a very well-established part in their neighborhood, in their society. They knew who everybody was. They were there. Their shop was there. They were. She was a seamstress, and she was also the only clocksmith in all of Holland. And the family had the business for 100 years. It was 1893, or what? It was something like that. It was, 1893 to 1937 or something like that. It was a 100-year business. And her father, Casper, you know, he really was touched by this, and he didn't want the Jews to be persecuted, so he actually went and said, you know what, I'll be back in a little while. I'm going to go and I'm going to get myself a Star of David, and I'm going to go and I'm going to put it on. And so you can imagine his family. There was Betsy and there was Peter, and then there was, I think Kick was the cousin or the nephew, and he went to go get that star, and he came back, and he was actually asking one of his daughters to sew it on to the front of his coat so he can, you know, be a part of what they were suffering. And he felt that, you know, they were God's people, and whatever they can endure, I can endure with them to support them. But they talked him out of it, and they said that there were many other ways that he could help them other than putting that star on to his coat and probably ending up in a prison camp, a labor camp, and having to probably eventually be put to death. And they treated them as they did the Jews. And so they did that. And so some of the things that were going on during that time also was that, you know, these Jews were being persecuted to the point to where they weren't allowed in the libraries, the restaurants, the stores. They were fired from their government jobs, so they couldn't support their families. So they were completely without. And they couldn't use bikes. They couldn't use the public transit. And so they were really being gathered up, and businesses were shutting down overnight. They wouldn't know what would happen to the families, and these people were just disappearing. And a lot of the men that would lose their jobs were being forced to go to labor camps, and they would, you know, put these men to hard labor. And it was basically to support the war efforts for the Germans and their cause. And so the Germans started the NSB, which was called the National Socialist Bond. And so there was a perk to the Dutch citizens that joined. They would get the best housing. They would get the most ration coupons because basically nobody was really going and shopping. The grocery stores weren't kind of walk-in basis like we have the convenience here. You know, they kind of took control over everything because they had to provide all the supplies and the food to the German soldiers. And so that's why they did all this. And fuel was scarce. And so if you joined the NSB, you also got privileges to the fuel. And you also got front-of-line privileges. So if food or rations would come in, they would actually get to go to the front of the line. And the reason being is because when they would do these things and be with the NSB, they were actually assisting the Germans to be able to watch and to keep an eye on what was going on, because there was a lot of underground activity going on to be able to sustain those Jews that were being persecuted. And so that was some of the things that those Dutch citizens would do, would join the NSB, even though they were friends with the family, they were close to them, and they knew each other, and they were taking advantage of those things that were at the opportune moment that could have provided life to those that were suffering, and they were thinking about those things that they could get gain for. And it's a very difficult time, and those things that the Lord calls us to do in difficult times, that's when I think our true colors show. That's when we have that opportune moment to make a decision, just like her father Caspar Ten Boom did. He said, I was going to be with him. I was going to be persecuted with him. Because he knew, coming from his Christian heritage, that the Jews were the Lord's people. And he didn't want to turn his back on them. And how important that is for us, and to see these things unfold that have happened in history, and how we can actually learn from it and be able to grow from it. So what did they do? They did what they had to do and what they decided to do. They didn't decide to go along with the rest of society, those that joined the NSB, and be against what they believed in. They stood up for what they believed in. So they started receiving Jews into their house, and they started helping them out, escaping from the Germans, getting them through the underground. And I believe that every one of them that were in that system, that they called each other Smith, if I'm correct. It was Smith, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Because they knew that if they were to give out any other information that other than their name and kind of get to know people, that could be used against them. And then that could lead to this person, you know, being tortured or whatever. They find their ways to be able to get information out of people, giving that up to be able to find out, you know, where they need to go to condemn these people. And so they begin to sneak them out and to get them out of Holland safely. And they actually, it was really neat because they actually, in the top floor of their house, it was a multi-story level house. And in the top floor in Corey's bedroom, they actually, where her bed was against the wall, they built an artificial wall. And they snuck all the materials in right underneath the Germans' noses, and they built this wall, and everybody started knowing about what the Ten Boom family was doing, and they were helping them out. And so they had a mason actually put up another brick wall to where it was probably about a 3-foot gap between the real wall and the artificial wall, and then the bed started. And there was a little linen closet to the right, and they would have a little cubby in the bottom of the linen closet. And if the Germans were coming and ring the doorbell at the place of business downstairs, they would all run upstairs, crawl through the little linen hole, and go and hide in the closet and not say a word. They could be completely silent until everything was taken care of. Well, so I'm sure that, you know, you can imagine where this is going. So eventually, the cat got out of the bag, so to speak, and the Germans found out. And they didn't find out technically that they had this artificial wall, but they knew that the Ten Booms were helping, because one of the people that came there for help actually said that they were doing this. They didn't let him in. They didn't show him the secret place. They were just trying to get money. He was trying to get money out of them and to be able to help him. And they were trying to get, they were actually gathering the money for him. But in the meantime, he went and he confessed that they were actually helping the Jews. So the Tambun family, the ones that were there at the time, Betsy was her sister, and Corey, and Casper, the father. I believe those were the three that ended up going to a labor camp. And so that's what I wanted to talk about. And it's just a really neat story about those that family and them being at Vought and Ravensbrook labor camps. And just an amazing story. And I would recommend you read the book or watch the movie because it's very compelling because of what they had to go through. And I'm not going to get into all the details with a prison camp, but we all know, we've all learned about it and all the things that come along with it and what they do to people there. But those two, Betsy and Corey, were actually a light for those that were around them while they were in that prison camp. And it was really neat because no matter what was going on, they figured out a way to keep their faith. As dark, as cold, as painful, as grueling, as sick, no matter what they were, they always kept the faith. And they actually helped others out while they were in there. They figured out ways to do it. And it was really neat because no matter what happened to them, they always kept the faith. And her sister Betsy always said, "There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper." And I really appreciated that saying because, you know, a lot of us go through struggles in our lives. We have those difficult times. And I look at these people and I see how easy my life is compared to them and what, you know, lies ahead in my life. And if times do get difficult, this is the meat. This is what I'm going to rely upon is the gospel and God to be able to carry me through this. Because like her sister would always say, there is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper. And a lot of people were persecuting them even in the prison saying, you know, you help these people out. Well, why did you do that? Look where you're at. Where's your God? What has God done for you? Look where he put you. And that's where I always go back and say that, you know, God has a plan for each and every one of us. The plan was set since the beginning of man. And we do not know the course in our life that we're going to choose at this very moment. Things can happen in a second, and life can change in an instant. And it happens to some of us at times. It happens overnight. It happens in a matter of months. But when you look back on it, it goes by real quick. And that's what's important, is that we rely upon Christ when things in our lives are difficult, when we're having those struggles, when we're having those difficulties, and those that are around us that are having those difficulties and struggles, how we can rely upon them, or we could share our experiences with them to help them grow, to help them be able to avoid situations that might occur in their lives. And so her father, Casper, actually passed away 10 days right after he was put into one of these labor camps. It took 10 days for him. He was over 84 years old when he went into the camp. And so, you know, just in his frailties, I'm sure that the harsh environment, the conditions, and the lack of food, and the broken heart, and I'm sure all that played a part in that man's life. But he died knowing that he was serving God. And the sisters say that they will always remember what his father said and how that he was there to help the people. And he could die knowing that he was doing what was right. And I was so touched by that, you know, I don't know if it's because, it's just because I have a love for my brothers and sisters. And when you see a story like this unfold, you know, really in our day-to-day lives, we don't experience this. But in reality, each and every one of us could. And I kind of put myself in their shoes. And it draws you in. And you can see and you can understand all the difficulties that they were going through. But, you know, on a good note, you know, Corey, she got out, and I don't know if it was by act of God or what, but she said that women that were her age, because I believe she was over the age of 50 when she got out of prison, that all those women were typically put to death They were put to death because they just were at an age where they cut it off and they would be taken care of in that manner. But by the grace of God, she was released. Her sister died a few days prior to that, her release. But the Lord did bless her throughout the whole time. They had little Bibles that they read in there. They did Bible studies and they touched people's lives left and right. They were all around them. And so that was on December 17th, 1944, that she was released for that labor camp. And she actually, when she got out of the labor camp, what did she do? She went to go, because this is when the war was over, basically. She had a little bit of time, and then the war kind of ended. So she had to recuperate, because she was saying that her legs would be so swollen, because every morning at 4:30 in the morning, they would make them stand for hours and hours on end. They would do their roll call, and then they would stand. And these people, they said that their legs were so swollen that it was like pins and needles going into them, even if they moved them. And the skin was just stretched so tight because of that. But she endured. And so when she got out, she helped those that were recovering from all these concentration camps. And she continued in the work that the Lord presented her before her. She took advantage of it. She grew from it. And she helped others from it. She was strengthened by it. And on top of that, those people that had joined the NSB that were actually, you know, turning Jews in and working with the Germans, she actually started to help them out. And they actually opened up their place of business to allow those people to come in and to recuperate from those difficulties of being in that society, because they were hated. And now they were being persecuted now that the war was over, because they were sympathizers to the Germans. And so she started helping those people too. And that just goes to show that love of Christ, that charity that woman had. And not only that, after she did that, she would go around the world telling her story to people that were desiring to hear of it, to be able to show her experiences and to help others, you know, through their difficult times. And what a lesson that we can learn, and that we're still learning today, when people like this do these things in their lives, that personally, I would probably don't know if I would have the strength to do it. But I know that because this person has done it and they put their trust in the Lord, that is the key. If you have the Lord in your life and you allow Him to carry you through these difficult times, you know, we might be persecuted, we might be put to death, but we know that if we're standing up for that which is right, the Lord's going to carry us through it and He's going to help us. So she lived to be 91, and she served her life helping people out and going through these difficult times and recovering from the difficulties of the war, and everything that she did was for God, and she gave all the glory to God in that which she did. And how neat is that? You know, I feel well accomplished when I do an open house for people and everything's a fun and a dandy time and we're raising a little bit of money. It's good. It makes me feel good. But, you know, something like this, that if we put ourselves in other people's shoes, you know, and we learn from that, boy, how much more of a treasure is that for us, that we can actually understand that, you know, people are really going through difficult times and we have an opportunity. And that's what I wanted to bring tonight, is to let you know that you will have an opportunity. The Lord will put those opportunities in front of you, whether it's here in this nation, whether it's in a different state or in a different country. Just remember that the Lord is with you when you do these things. And I'm going to read a few verses here. I'm going to read in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39, because this is what came to me as a scripture after I kind of was doing my study. I watched the movie. I wanted to share a few scriptures with you tonight. In Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39, it says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh an intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that goes back to say that there is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper. You know, no matter what, you know, Paul is telling us that the Lord is there for you. He's there all the day long. He's there. He's ready and willing to help us. But we have to reach out to him. We have to have him in our hearts. We have to have that relationship with him to be able to overcome these things that are in our lives. And if we come into a tribulation or a trial or a difficult time, you know, that's where we need to put our focus. And we need to be able to share that with others and to lift each other up and to give each other what we need. And it says in John chapter 14, I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. It says, let your heart not be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe in me also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And what a wonderful blessing to have that, to know that the Lord came and that he gave himself for each and every one of us, that we have a place to go. And he says that in my Father's house, there are many mansions. And you know, the glory of God is so amazing. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to look up that word mansions, because I'm wondering if that comes with like Tempur-Pedic beds, fountains, you know, Xbox, PlayStation, and all that good stuff. But so I looked it up, and in Strong's 3438, it says it's monet, and it means residence. That's a residence. The mansion is a residence. And it refers to 3306. That's where it derives from. And it's meno is the Greek term. And that is abide, continue, endure, remain, and tarry. I like that a lot more than, I am much more comforted with that than having all these things that are of the world that would lure us in. God's not about that. You know, it's about being with him. It's about being at peace. It's about knowing that we have that comfort in the Lord, that we can spend eternity with him at peace and in his glory. And what a wonderful thing that is. You know, we can have anything probably pretty much any time we want here in this country, but there's one thing that we should be working for, is to have that eternal life with God. And how do we do that? How do we get there? You know, and I'm going to read, I don't have the page number here, I'm sorry, 3 Nephi chapter 6. And I think this is the first step in which how we find out how to get there. It says, 3 Nephi chapter 6, verse 19, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and you shall find it, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. I think that's the first step. We need to ask. We need to ask in sincerity. We need to kneel down. We need to pray to the Lord. We need to have him show us, what, Lord, do you have for me in my life that I can do to be a better Christian? Show me those opportunities and let my eyes be open. Open my ears and open up my mouth if that's what you call me to do, so I may do your work, so that I may receive those rewards, those treasures in heaven, that crown of glory that he promised us, each and every one of us, if we follow after him and do his work and follow his commandments. I'm going to read on. It says in verse 21, Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things unto them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. It's not an eye for an eye or tooth for tooth. It's whatever you, however you would like to be treated, treat others that way. And it says, enter ye in the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. And that's, you know, the great and spacious building that our brother Brian was talking about this morning. That's the wide path. That's the easy way. You know, it's such an opportune moment for us to be here and to be able to share the gospel with one another and to learn about it and then to go out and to share that with others. That is an opportune moment. Make the most of it, because our time, this time of probation that we have, is only so much, and it goes by so quick, and things happen so fast. So be prepared. Be prepared to do that what the Lord has given you to do. Take advantage of it and go with it. Make the most of your time. I'm going to read in 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 8 through 17. It says, this is 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 17. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain from his tongue, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of the terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Just like Casper Ten Boom. You know, he was doing what he knew was right, what God called us to do, and he died in doing so. Corey's sister Betsy, the same. She knew what she was doing was right, that whole family. And that's how I hope tonight that when I come here, that each and every one of you got a little piece of that, and take some time and think about it, and think about those things that which are good for you, just like with this class I'm teaching in our Sunday school, you know. Learn how to take those steps to that which is right and which is good, and experiment with the Lord. Kneel down. Say a prayer. Start talking and conversing with him. Allow him into your life. Let him lead you. Let him show you and guide you, and he's gonna bless you in your life when things are difficult, and he's going to show and open up your eyes to those things which you should do. And what a wonderful blessing it is when you allow him to do that and see the fruits of your labor and how it glorifies him. So I'm also going to read in Revelations chapter 3. Okay, here we go. I'm going to read verses 20 and 21. I'll read it out of my book. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. And the Lord's telling us right there that, you know, he overcame, and we can do that through him. We have to knock. We have to listen to his voice. We have to open the door. We have to allow him in. And I'm going to bounce back to 1 Peter again. I apologize for that. And I'm going to go back. This is last time I read in 3:8. This time I'm going to 4:8. And I'm going to read verses 8 through 11. And it says here, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And that charity is the pure love of Christ. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." And that's what I have tonight. And that's, brothers and sisters, those that are watching, I really do have a desire to be able to share those experiences in my life, to be able to lift brothers and sisters up. And I really appreciated that song that was called our second song, "I Gave My Life for Thee." How meaningful that is. And when you really think about it, it just fit with this sermon, I believe, perfectly. Because, you know, this Ten Boom family gave what they had. They gave everything that they have. And brothers and sisters, think about that. If the time comes, are we willing to do that? May God bless each and every one of you, and give. May you get that strength from him, and may you give him that opportunity to work in your lives. So God bless you. Thank you.